Welcome to episode 4 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament, a Bible study series on the Anglican Hour. I'm Father Ron Shibley, rector of St. John Chrysostom Anglican Church, Richmond, Virginia, the host parish of the Anglican Internet Church. In episode 4, I continued the discussion of the third major theme of the Gospel of St. Matthew, the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy in the life of Christ. In this episode, we have moved from Jesus' infancy to the beginning of his ministry in Galilee as an adult man and begin the discussion with the introduction of John the Baptist in chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. St. Matthew tied the coming of Jesus' ministry to the penitential mission of St. John the Baptist, who is regarded by the church as the last prophet of the Old Testament. St. Matthew does not explain, as St. Luke does, the family relationship between Jesus and John. In these verses, we find another example of the kingship theme found in St. Matthew's Gospel. Here, St. Matthew again cites the prophet Isaiah. In this case, the prophetic reference is a quotation from Isaiah 40, verse 3, using the Septuagint text. In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." More on the same theme concerning John the Baptist as the forerunner who prepares the way is found in chapter 11, verses 7 to 14. In these verses, it is Jesus who makes the connection between John and the Old Testament prophet Elijah, citing the prophecy of Malachi 3, verse 1. He also makes reference to the kingdom of heaven. "For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. For if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." In these verses, Jesus has affirmed that the era of the Old Testament covenant between the Father and the descendants of Abraham is over, and that a new covenant era has begun. What he is saying in verse 11b concerning righteousness, "He who is the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he," is that under the new covenant, believers in Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven will be regarded as greater even than the righteous John the Baptist. In his commentary on Jesus' visit to Capernaum after the imprisonment of John the Baptist at the beginning of Jesus' preaching in the Galilee seeking repentance, St. Matthew again speaks of the coming of the kingdom of heaven and using the first reference to the concept of Jesus as the light in the darkness. And this is Matthew 4, verse 15 and 16. "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, 'The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." The quotation is from Isaiah 9, 1 and 2 and Isaiah 42, 7, in both cases using the Septuagint text. Early in his ministry in Galilee, Jesus forthrightly explained the purpose of his incarnation as being the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. He also offered further explanation of the concept of the kingdom of heaven that is featured prominently in the Gospel of St. Matthew. Jesus' words are an indictment of the Pharisees, which I pointed out in episode 2, which is another consistent theme of the Gospel of St. Matthew. In this quotation from Matthew 5:17-18, the phrase "jot and tittle" refers to the Pharisees' excessive attention to the smallest detail of Mosaic law. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say to you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot and tittle will by no means pass from the law until all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. In chapter 7, verse 12, we find an example of one of the earliest revelations, in this case spoken by Jesus himself, of his life and teachings as the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, and the first mention of a new positively stated commandment. The remarks follow logically from the previous reading in chapter 5. Jesus is speaking in a manner of the Hebrew rabbi, or teacher, when he explains the true meaning of the golden rule. In the Hebrew experience, rabbinical rules describe what must not be done. In this verse, Jesus restates the negative into a simple positive instruction on one of the most important principles of both Judaism and Christianity. Whatever you wish that men would do to you, do so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That's Matthew 7, verse 12. In our next account, we focus on the healing of St. Peter's mother-in-law in Matthew 8, 14 to 17. Jesus not only heals St. Peter's wife's mother, but also many who were demon-possessed. This demonstration of divine power by the force of his word occurred, he wrote, quote, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, citing part of the suffering servant prophecy of Isaiah 52 and 53. In this case, the quotation is Isaiah 53:4. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. In Matthew 12:15-21, St. Matthew deals with Jesus' refusal to disclose his identity. Once again, he connects the servant prophecy of Isaiah 42:1-9 in the commentary on Jesus' healing of the sick, and once again speaks of Jesus' divine mission. In this quotation, the mission is extended to the Gentiles. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory, and in his name Gentiles will trust. We turn now to Matthew 13 concerning why he spoke in parables, verses 10 to 17. After Jesus had spoken to the parable of the sower, and, quote, the great multitudes had gone away, his disciples came to him with a question. In verse 10, why do you speak in parables? In the explanation, Jesus said that they had been given the gift of understanding the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but the masses had not. He also warned them that those who had been given such gifts should use them, indeed would be given more, and that those who failed to use them would have them taken away. That's verse 12. Then explained using the Septuagint text of Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10, therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Later in the same chapter, chapter 13, in verses 34 and 35, after his account of Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower and his delivery of the parable of the wheat and the tares, St. Matthew offers another of Jesus' comments on parables, this time in the context of the fulfillment of prophecy and the fulfillment of a divine plan for mankind hidden since the creation. The scripture quotation is from the Septuagint text of Psalm 78, verse 2. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables, and without a parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter things kept secret since the foundation of the world. Of the apostles, it was only St. Paul who also wrote of things kept secret from the foundation of the world, or the mysteries, as he called them, previously unexplained, but revealed in Christ, and you'll find them in Romans 16, 25 and 26, 1 Corinthians 2, 7, Ephesians 3, 9, and Colossians 1, 26. Jesus used the same phrase again in the last week of his earthly life in his prayer for all, as it is reported in John 17, verse 24. Up to now, in episode 4, we have covered examples of the fulfillment of prophecy theme of St. Matthew in Jesus' adult life in Galilee. We shift now to events which occurred in the final weeks of his earthly life, the period the Church knows as Holy Week, beginning with his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday at the start of chapter 21. In the first example, we hear once again the theme of kingship. In the account of the triumphal procession into Jerusalem in 21:1-5, St. Matthew connects the details of the entry into the city with the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9, with a suggestion of the coming of salvation, which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 62:11. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. The next verses in chapter 21, verses 6 through 11, deal with the people's joyful response to Jesus and the use of the phrase, Hosanna to the Son of David. Hosanna is a Hebrew word which means save or save now. When the people saw Jesus riding on the colt of the donkey, they made their own connection with the ancient prophecy of the Old Testament, calling Jesus a son of David, thus acknowledging the royal line and calling him a prophet from Nazareth, recalling the Nazarene prophecy found in Matthew 2, verses 19 to 20, and which I discussed in episode 3. The saying which is called out by the multitudes, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, is from Psalm 118, verse 26. It was used exactly in the same form in the first Holy Eucharist liturgy of the Church of England in 1549, but was left out of the 1928 liturgy. Many parishes still speak these same words, even if the text is not in the Book of Common Prayer. And now verses 6 through 11. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him upon them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? So the multitude said, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee." The people of Jerusalem, if not the leadership of the Jews, have acknowledged Jesus as the one who would come in the line of David. If anything, this fervent adoration of Jesus only inflamed the scribes and Pharisees and increased their determination to solve their Jesus problem. Next time, in Episode 5, I will complete the discussion of the fulfillment of prophecy in the life of Christ in the Gospel of St. Matthew, with examples connected to his betrayal, death, trial, and resurrection. Thank you for joining me for Episode 4 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament. While you're on our website, I invite you to visit the digital library page for our on-demand podcast and videocast archive, the bookstore page for information about all our publications, and a live link to our e-store at our Podbean site, www.stjohnc.podbean.com, and also the Anglican Hour page, which offers links to our program archive of current and previous series. Producing these programs requires both time and money. You can support this internet ministry in two ways. You can make a direct donation by sending a check in any amount, payable to St. Chrysostom Church, and mail it to our business office, 7162 Soft Wind Lane, Mechanicsville, Virginia 23111. Or you can purchase books from our bookstore, our e-store, at the Podbean site, www.stjohnc.podbean.com. That's www.stjohnc.podbean.com. stjohnc.podbean.com. Once at that site, go to the bookstore page at where you can order any of our 10 publications using PayPal. If you'd like to speak with me personally about this program or any other subject, please feel free to call on my church cell phone, 804-306-1190. If you do not reach me directly, please leave your name, a message, and a callback number. Until next time, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.